I would like to introduce our speaker, Bonnie.
Bonnie.
Hey.
I'm an addict named Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, everybody. I'm very nervous. However, I also just need to preface everything I say with, I'm very passionate about Narcotics Anonymous, and sometimes I will go off on a little bit of a tangent, but I do very much love this topic, and I have explored it for the past couple of weeks, and I hope all the brilliant things that I thought of over the past couple of weeks come out. Now, we have Anthony as the cleanup person, so I think between Anthony and I, for those still wearing purple, it is baseball season, hence my cleanup reference. So, officially today. So, anyway, with that, I am an addict, and my message, I mean, our topic is the message, not the messenger. And I looked at it lots of different ways, and I know that in Narcotics Anonymous, our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. But when we talk about the message being hope, to me, what encompasses hope encompasses is healing and love and some other kind of, you know, caring principles. But I need to backtrack real quick because I want to just thank the people that came because they knew I was speaking, this front row right here. And Frank, who I just met in real life, I only know him from Facebook. And he was just downstairs. He said he'd come up. And the gals over here, and my sponsor was a little late. She was caught in traffic. But Grace said a prayer with me. And things like that is carrying the message. And for anyone that saw us standing in the corner, it's not a verbal message, but it's a physical message, and it's what we do for each other. And a lot of times our actions are the only way that we do carry the message. When people see us welcome a newcomer into the meeting in the spirit of goodwill, when someone sees us taking a cup of coffee to somebody that's now on a walker because we're all getting so old, you know, and they can't carry the coffee on a walker in a meeting, and we give them a coffee because we honor, you know, the people that are in our meetings in our own group. So I did write some notes, and usually notes confuse me, but I wanted to make sure I said some of the things that I think are really important about this topic. So anyway, the message of Narcotics Anonymous, if you're new, is that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. And when we share people's home groups or go to conventions like this and share a message, I was taught to, you know, contribute to the message, not to contaminate the meeting, all kinds of different things, and to keep it positive. And I'm representing Narcotics Anonymous when I'm speaking. And so when I use the literature for what I'm going to share and relate that to my experience, my strength, and hope, it's a message of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not repping myself. My image is of no importance to anybody. It's really what I have to say about how this program has helped me and healed me and transformed me into the mother and the person, the sister, the sponsee, the sponsor that I am today. And it was because other people carried a message of hope. And I won't get real political, but I am a Narcotics Anonymous purist. And so some things came up when I was thinking of this. But anyway, the core principle in the message, not the messenger, for me is the one of anonymity. And what anonymity does is for me, and I've had, you know, periods of time since I've been in Narcotics Anonymous where I think, oh my goodness, you know, about somebody, or, you know, it's the personalities before principles. And all those things that I came in here with, whether it was ego, judgment, they all kind of go away when we learned how to work the spiritual principles, and we're taught by a sponsor and other people that believe in us and want to help us in our recovery. So the way that when I first got here, that I was able to listen, because I did sit over there and judge people. And whether when I was new, I judged them because it was like I still was wondering what the heck I was doing here. And so I could compare myself out. So I was participating in judgment. But when I was taught different things and different ways of being, I would just say, well, if I close my eyes, you know, and don't look at what they have on or who they are, or I'm jealous of them because I don't know why their car, you know, whatever it is, that I'm actually listening for the substance of what the person's saying and not what they look like or what I heard about them from somebody else, because that was a long time ago when I did engage in gossip, but not in a meeting, it was after, but still. But, you know, those are the things when I first came in here, when someone says we carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous, that's why I wouldn't stand up here and talk about somebody else ever, because that's not my job as a person carrying a message. But anyway, the other thing that I would do was visualize somebody. And I'm telling you, the things that I do for me have really worked to help change my thinking and my attitude toward people. And I know that the message of Narcotics Anonymous is one of love. The things that we say and the things that we do are done because we love each other. It's like, you are my people, and I so honor being a member of this program. And I feel like just saying that is also, a message. Everything that comes out is a message of whether I honor the program, respect the program, whatever. I just lost track. But the thing about the speakers, when we select speakers for things, and now I'm talking about myself, and we all have our own personal responsibility to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and I know that, and the message is protected by the traditions. And for me, the main tradition it's protected by was 5, but it's protected by 1, 3, 5, and 12. The most, and we have to have things to protect ourselves, because otherwise we'd probably implode. If I didn't have someone giving me positive direction, whether it was spiritually based, God based, whatever the higher power is that works for you, on my own, without a power greater than myself, which was ego and the other different ways that I operated before I came in here and was taught how to change my behavior, it was all ego. And if we were all in here with our egos, we wouldn't really get very far. But because we're asked to put that aside and count on a power greater than ourselves, then those are things that are opposite of me. So I came in here a liar, and I was taught to be honest. I came in here, I thought I was open-minded because of the things I did out there. I said, oh, yeah, I got that one. But I learned that that wasn't a really spiritual definition. And for me to be able to work the steps and change and grow and experience the phenomenal growth that we experience when we come in here and work the steps, I had to redefine a lot of the things that I used. So anyway, the ideas and the messages that I express, or other people that stand up in meetings and conventions, are to be looked at as what they are, the message, and not like the messenger. And so back to the messenger. In my home group not long ago, and I guess I can say this, but we've been having some blurry issues, and I'm 100% Narcotics Anonymous, and I believe that anyone belongs here that wants to be here, and anyone with a desire to be clean, whether they are or they aren't, deserves to be in these rooms in Narcotics Anonymous with people like us, wrapping our arms around you and hugging you and loving you till you can love yourself, put drugs down or not. So all that stuff aside, in my home group, I think, when you have the messenger, it should be somebody that is of Narcotics Anonymous and works Narcotics Anonymous steps and has a Narcotics Anonymous speaker. And sometimes I'm absent from my home group because I have this little side gig I'm doing. And so on Friday night, I get someone to replace me as secretary. And not long ago, I wasn't able to go because I wasn't there. I mean, I was busy. And the kid has an NA sponsor, and he's celebrating his second year clean. And then all of a sudden, this guy from another fellowship stands up and gives them a different kind of thing. And then my phone's going off the hook, and people are calling me, like, as if I'm in charge of the meeting, and I'm not. But so those are the things that happen. So in that regard and in that context, sometimes it is important not to judge the messenger, but to look at who we're getting to be the messenger, and that it is a clear, clean message of Narcotics Anonymous. And the message is hope, and that is so powerful. And when I first got here into Narcotics Anonymous, I had no idea how to live. I didn't live skillfully. I didn't live knowing how to love anybody. I didn't know how to be in relationships with anybody. And, it was all about getting and finding and ways and means to use more, whatever it says. And just after working the steps and understanding what it means, the we part of us, this collective identity that we have and that we resonate with each other when we speak and when we share from our heart. And that's what someone said, you don't need those notes, just share from your heart. But I wanted to make sure I said certain things. So I know it's my responsibility to carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous, and that's my personal responsibility, and it's my motto. And it's my commitment to you that I will always try to do that, whether it's talking about a step or the sponsorship, the way that we do things. But then as a group and as a home group, the group should protect, you know, the message that the group is giving through group conscience and this and that and the other and the people that they pick. But the member is not as important as the message. The group is not as important as the message is. Nothing is more important than the message, because nothing should be more important where someone that can't come in here and get a message of Narcotics Anonymous and know that they too can recover. And sometimes, you know, we get caught up in different things here and there. And all right, I'm on another tangent. I'm sorry.
Is it a time yet?
Oh, I wanted to say this about the actions, and I talked about visualizing. So the practice that I used when I was in the first couple of years of recovery, when I didn't know how to really change my behavior, even though it was suggested, I was directed, and I worked some steps. But the habits that you have are, sometimes they're hard, you know, to let go of. And you just, it just was habitual for me to talk about people, because that's how I felt good about myself. It was all I ever knew before. And then I learned things like, well, you can just be quiet. You don't have to say anything. And you can feel good about yourself. You know, and my sponsor has said before, don't let your mouth kill people. You know, and so before I learned all that, I could sit in a chair over there when I'd go, God, that person. Or if you knew something about somebody that kind of didn't go with your new values that you had in here, it was, I would just close my eyes and think of who they were and know that they were a member of a home group, and then picture that person being the person that opened the meeting and being that person that turned the light on and being that person that opened the cupboard and got the shit out and the readings and put them on the chairs for whoever else showed up after them. And when I could begin to do that, like, the judgment started to disappear, to eventually, you know, I really didn't have a lot of judgment. It's like, I want to meet and greet people in Narcotics Anonymous with an open heart and with love, and share the message that we can all get clean and stay clean, and that it is a life worth living, and that we can live, you know, beyond our wildest dreams. And when I first heard that message, when I came in, I really thought that meant like houses and cars and boats and different things. I didn't know what it meant to live beyond your wildest dreams. But after you're here for a while and you understand that it's an inside job, and that when we work the first step and we do that surrender, and for me that was not a process like the rest of the program is a process for me, but the surrender and the admitting that I was powerless over my addiction was like an event. It was like I had to do it. And I've been doing some new writing lately, and I've been around here for a while, and I admitted that I was powerless over my addiction. And you know that it wasn't until like a month ago, I was sharing with this with Lydia on the phone, that all the times we're presented with who we are, you know, when we're out there using, the truth of who we are by police or parents or husbands or children, and it's like we're resistant to that information. And when I came in here and heard the word denial, all that stuff was under that category, denial. I didn't actually look at it and learn anything. It's like, oh, that's denial, that's what they said. But now I understand when we admit something, that before I could really admit it, that I was resistant to it and I was reluctant. I had no idea that was my behavior for all those 20 years that I used, when everyone else was saying, what the is wrong with you? And you don't know, or you know, you blame other people and this and that. So I just, you know, those are the kind of things that are miracles for me and living beyond my wildest dreams, because I did come in here in 1984, and then with 20 years clean, I went back out. And I will just, you know, reduce that down to I forgot who I was, because it's a long story and I can make it even longer. But I do know that, you know, you pick up because you want to. I picked up because I forgot who I was, and I moved to another country that didn't have meetings. And for 2 years, I would walk around saying, I must be clean at a cellular level, or I must be the, you know, the shit like that. And then the next thing you know, I picked up. And so when I first came in here, I can tell you, I was broken, and I didn't really know how to live, you know, the way that we come in. But after having gone back out, knowing there was a better way to live, and then using the way that I used, I came back in with a greater and deeper understanding of the gift of desperation, and I came in here shattered. So for this program to put a shattered woman back to whole is just the message in and of itself, because if you knew me when I was using, and my sponsor saw me using, I was a mess. But I wasn't a mess the first time. I was a mess only the second time. Because the first time, I didn't know any different. And, you know, you still end up in jail. You still end up in near-death things. You still end up disappointing people. Because the best thing that I can do when I'm using is disappoint people and not show up for things and not know where my child was or not think that a job was important. You know, those were the best I could do. And when I started to get clean and started to grow and transform and, you know, you work the steps and get to 12 and then you embody the principles and we carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and I began to change. That's when I really understood, too, when I came back in this time, was that for me, I have to live in between this message of hope that we have. And you guys gave me the hope. It's right here. And then you gave me the promise of freedom from active addiction, which is right here. And that for me, this addict, I have to keep myself right in the middle of hope and freedom from active addiction. And all will be well. And that stuff is an inside job. And that stuff for a person caught in the grips that couldn't stop and used against their will. I didn't use against my will the first time. I used when I shouldn't, and I used knowing I'd get caught, and I used no matter what. But I didn't know it was against my will until I came into Narcotics Anonymous. And then no matter how much I tried, I couldn't put it down. I didn't think I'd ever get clean again. And so I understand miracles a lot differently today, too. And I know that I'm a walking, talking, breathing miracle. And so I have worked the program a lot more different than I did before. And it wasn't that I wasn't passionate about it before, but I know today from working my steps a little bit differently and the powerlessness and the acceptance and embracing the truth of who I am is the greatest power and gift that I can give myself. That, yeah, I'm an addict, but I'm an addict in recovery, and I can create my own experiences. And if I want something different, I have to do something different. And all those different messages and affirmations that we say in here, they're just little snippets of the message that kind of ignite that spark of hope. And we never know who's sitting out there when we're speaking that might need to hear just some little affirmation like, you're only as sick as your secrets, or the truth will set you free. Those are also messages of hope. And my experience, strength, and hope that I offer you today is, what do they call it? It was hard won. It was a hard fight. And to come in here and learn in the second step, once we surrender and you tell me I don't have to fight anymore and I'm not caught in the grip of addiction, and I get to the second step and I can be restored to sanity and that I have the power of choice. And then you said to me that if I don't have to fight, then what's there? It's peace. And that I can seek peace today and solution, and I don't have to seek a fix or anything outside myself. And let me tell you, I have cold chills saying that. And I can cry saying it because it means that much to me. And today, in the second step too, I know that I can live a life without all the drama because peace is where it's at. Yes. I mean, the hippie shit from before, that's where it's at. But to experience it and understand it and know it and believe in it, that's where the hope comes from for me, is the belief. And the belief is what sparks the hope. It kind of goes back and forth, and it's like, phew, you know, it's like a miracle. And I just adore myself here with you and what you guys have done to me and for me. And I love my sponsor and my people. I just love you guys. And I appreciate being asked to carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I hope it was one of hope. And whatever I miss, Anthony's going to cover. So thank you.
I would like to introduce Anthony.
I'm Anthony, I'm an addict. I'd like to thank the convention committee, My new buddy Ed was up our way, and I met him at a couple meetings up there in Cape May County, New Jersey. And I have to say, when I got the text from him, I always struggle with the ego thing involved. Like, wow, a guy from out of town going to speak at a convention from a different area. You know what I mean? Like, but the truth is, it's just, Narcotics Anonymous has turned a guy, 11 years and a couple months ago, I was at the end and wanted to blow my brains out. I was up for like a week. How far I've come, like I forget sometimes, and how low my self-esteem was and self-acceptance my whole life. I'm a 52-year-old man, and something as simple as a guy you meet at a meeting, like I don't remember what we talked about. I remember we talked good recovery talk, and I remember being jealous. He sent me this picture when he got back home. I was like, that's dude's house. Got like water in the backyard. It might not be. I didn't ask him yet. But he said, he might have been at work just sending me a picture of some job. I don't know. But I was like, damn, dude's living. No wonder. He seemed like a happy guy. No wonder, And like, the message sometimes, the message, not the messenger, can mean so many things. That it's, I wasn't nervous at all till Bonnie did, I'm going to be the cleanup guy, and whatever she didn't get, I'm going to get. Maybe, don't shoot this messenger. I drove down here. Please bear with me. Because, but Bonnie started off saying, she might go off or whatever. Like, I always look at myself, even when I'm sharing from the floor at a regular meeting, I'm like a biplane. You ever see them planes that do the barrel rolls, and then they stall, and they whatever, I just try to land where I'm supposed to. Ed told me what the topic is. The convention committee wants to share a message of the message, not the messenger, so I try to stay there, but I'm a ghost in places. I was flat broken, and something as simple as someone like Ed saying, hey, would you like to come speak at our convention? The self-esteem injection and wow, man, because sometimes, 11 years and a couple months or whatever, I still wonder, am I doing it right? What the fuck's this guy want me to spot? I'm sorry, I don't even know if we can curse or should I ask that. I don't even know why I asked that, because I'm not going to be capable of not doing it properly. I catch myself as I'm saying that. I'm like, oh, I should have asked. I am mindful. And, as funny as that sounds, I try not to, because, there's people in my life today that just, they're sharing the message by their actions, like Bonnie shared that. It'd be impossible to be involved in Narcotics Anonymous in my own personal recovery to not touch on some stuff that Bonnie touched on. It's like if somebody asks you to speak on a step and they read the How and Why, out of the How and Why book first. And it's like, well, what am I going to share? We just read it. Bonnie summed it up, and I can only just share my experience with it, is just to know that I was so broken and come so far, and the self-esteem and self-acceptance and stuff that I've gained that can falter at any time. Because like I said, why am I shocked that somebody would ask me to speak at an NA meeting? I believe in this 100%. I wanted to blow my brains out at the end. I'd been here, got a year, 6 months, did the few years shuffle in and out. Had no acceptance, didn't understand what I suffered from. Quoting shit, going for rookie of the year, all the literature quoting, and wait, they ain't never seen nobody do it like me, Because it looked attractive, the people that seemed like they had their life together, that were talking about this thing. I was broken enough to know that I don't want to live that way no more. So I came in doing the same thing I did my whole life, though, without knowing it. I'm mimicking. And saying what needs to be said. And I didn't want to get high no more, but I didn't understand what I suffered from. So thank God for the message. And one of the best things I ever heard, I don't know why I tell people that I stole. Maybe I let people leave here thinking I came up with it. But there's a wrench for every nut. I think I heard a few months in when I got clean again. Yeah. And I was still putting my head on the pillow, wanting to not wake up. Maybe I did enough damage shooting coke, whatever, just be lucky enough. I don't want to commit suicide and do that to my mom. And it's probably important for me to touch on that. For me, the anonymity piece, we all suffer from this disease of addiction, and at the end, the hopelessness and all from that. If I owned a gun, I'm not here speaking at this meeting. I was relieved, a sense of relief. I skitzed out listening to mice running through a field 2 miles away, shit, like, you know what I mean? Got the fridge unplugged because the humming's bugging me out. Losing my mind. Hearing people talk that left my apartment 2 days ago. Losing it. And I had such a sense of peace, and I was not high at all no more. It's over. I flush shit. People go, oh, no, nobody throws shit away. I flushed a bunch of shit, poured a bunch of shit. I was done being here. I didn't want to be alive no more, let alone clean, high, not high. Like, it didn't matter. I didn't want to be here. And I was like, man, I just got to sober up enough, buddy, or sober up enough and call my buddy, borrow a gun off him, and it's over. And I'm so relieved. And my mom comes over because at some point, like talking to my sister through text or whatever, my mom was worried enough to come to my house. And like, it was probably a few hours after I'd, thank God I wasn't like skitzed because it was like shameful and embarrassing enough. But it hit me like a tidal wave. And like, you see on TV and movies, or well, they even got these mirrors now. It's got like a hologram with the news, and your AOL feed will come up on your mirror in the morning or whatever. I could see like a real life movie of my mom when she left my apartment, like in the Acme in our little town, Cape May, with a shopping cart and these two girls. I don't know who the girls were, but my mom was like a movie, and I'm blind, like eyes wide open. I would have did that to that woman. They walked past her and they were like, oh, that's a shame, that's Miss Getz. Remember what her son did? And she looked so lonely. Like, I was like watching this, like with my eyes open. Like, it wasn't a dream, I was awake. And like, I didn't think, I love my mom. Like, all the contradictions, like the message that I got here, I'm in denial. Like, you talked about that. I was in denial my whole life. Someone that cares about themselves don't live that way. Period. Simple as that. Somebody that cares about their health don't do the things I did from 11 years old all the way through. Like, he don't look like he cares about it. Like, if I played a fucking short movie of my life, condense it to a movie in an hour and a half, and be like, wow, dude is really special needs all the way. Like, where's his helmet? You know? Crayon eating, window licking, like, off his rocker. Nothing. I like came face to face, like I said, a few months in, and like really realized, you know, thank God for there's a wrench for every nut in here, because my wrench, my sponsor, was even with my self defense mechanisms, because I'm a 5-year-old sensitive, don't tell me what to do guy, had the courage to say to me, you keep telling me you want to go to bed and not wake up. That don't make no sense. Somebody that'd rather be dead wouldn't bother going to a meeting fucking 10 times a week. Hung up on me. Hang up on me. Whatever. I'm stuck with that. What do you say to that? I'd rather be dead. Denial. Don't even know I'm lying to myself as I go to an NA meeting, but I'd rather be dead. Why would I bother? If I didn't want to be alive. So, like, that was the turning point. That was the break in the dam that I needed to understand the disease of addiction and come face to face with someone who loves their mother doesn't almost do that. Someone that cares about themselves at all doesn't live that way. Somebody that hates handcuffs, let alone the county jail again for whatever amount of time. I used to do the tour because there was always detainers. Like, I never went to court until they caught up with me. So then whoever finally caught up was like, sit there, get done that one, got a detainer, wait for them to come pick you up. You know, doing the whole shuffle. And like, I hated it. I hated the red and blue lights, let alone the rest that came with it. But continue to do it over and over. Continue to do all those things over and over. And my bottom was in an apartment 2 blocks from the beach. And all my bills were paid and I was doing fine, like, life-wise. But, like, I was broken, man. And I just didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't see the point. You are all lying to yourselves. Life ain't all that great. People wake up high-fiving the world. Yeah, what? What are we here for? And I believe that bullshit. My life has changed so much for the better. From, you know, like, collectively, all the messengers in my life. Because, like, the literature's the solid thing that we go by. Thank God for the guys that wrote the stuff and women. But, like, without the people that are giving individual messages in my life, the messengers in my life on any given day, whether they got a day clean, someone, I guess you were talking about somebody at the home group, like, even if they can't stay clean, they belong here. The anonymity piece, like, they're a member. Somebody that's lying. Like, my home group was bugging out. Yo, so-and-so got a key tag over to whatever. Don't get weird. I know people with 15 years that talk about, you know, coming up on 7 years and I cleaned it up, told everybody the truth or whatever. What are you going to, rock them? Where's the love in that? That's between them and God. They ain't going to break NA because they're lying about their clean time. What is wrong with people? Like, always pointing the finger and, like, you know, being judgmental and all that stuff is the big, like, one of the biggest things with message, not the messenger. You know, I'd be lying, blowing smoke up my own ass and everybody in the room if I said I wasn't judgmental and inventory taken at times. I laugh at it. And like, I smoke cigarettes. I call this the M&M 8 Mile, if you ever seen the movie. I like kicking away all the ammo from myself, knowing who am I to judge when I love myself today, but I'm still going to go outside and smoke a Marlboro when I'm done. My diet's in the shitter. My communication skills with an intimate relationship with a woman are in the... What? I'm 3 years clean, I'm sitting in a meeting. I got a bundle of dope in my truck. Sponsoring a couple guys. Got a bundle of dope because she promises she's going to detox Friday. We got her a bed on Friday. But she's throwing up on herself and pooping herself, and she's going to be out the door doing something with somebody to get it. At least she's home with me and she's safe. And I believe that bullshit. And I'm going to, I can throw stones at myself all day for the things I've done and continue to still do. I don't want to watch porn no more. I still do. I'm not saying that so you can be mad at me too. I'm exposing it to let you know. There's somebody in here that might want to stop doing that. And if that ain't in your moral compass and you do that, God bless you. It ain't a problem until you say so. For me, it's a problem. It bothers me now. And my diet, my blood pressure this morning when I left my house was 180 over 109. That's not good. You know? I'm on medication. I go see the doctor. He seems like not worried at all. It's like you're in an airplane. You're in an airplane and like it's making weird noises. You look at the pilot. He doesn't look nervous, so I guess I'm okay. Like I go see my doctor pretty regularly and, you know, health issues. You know, I go to the gym and like it's self-esteem and like still negative body image and all that stuff. Like I said, I'm a 5-year-old at any given moment. The movie Carrie, like they're all gonna laugh at you. I feel like Sissy Spacek, like it's like embarrassment or something, or somebody if they only knew. Like I'm 2 nickels short of a dime on a good day still, and like I said, I scratch my head and like these guys love me and call me with their issues and we work through my issues and we laugh at each other and like, you know, they love that I tell them like I love eating the grape crayon still and because I gotta laugh. Like it's only justification to myself if I, you know, I got a realistic 7-step and I've come so far, like I said. So then it's just the ebb and flow of me learning from others, other people with the courage to share honestly about where they're at and what they're going through, and me not trying to be the NA spokesperson. This is what you need to do. This is what I do and how I apply it. I'm not against the, we're in NA, we're in the business of saving lives. I'm not against that. I believe collectively as messengers in NA, we help each other save each other's lives, but I'm here to save my life. If my experience and me and you shooting the shit with a new guy outside after the meeting helps him save his life, great. That's a benefit he gets. But I'm here for me. This is a self-help program, I was told, by a guy that sponsored me, and he was around since, like, I think him and Fred Flintstone were in the first home. And, you know, God rest his soul. He passed away a few years ago. When you got a really solid sponsor that's older, I'm told I got daddy issues. But, like, thank God for this messenger in my life. He believed in this so much, like coast to coast. He was in the world, whatever the shit they do at World or whatever. And I like, it blows my mind, like, you know, way off topic, but like the message of a platform sometimes. Like this is an event, like things that I've learned through the years. This isn't an NA meeting. I was surprised we did all the readings. I was like, oh, that's different. I don't mind them. I love them. I love the readings. But I was always told early on, this is an event. This is a fellowship get-together where we get to share experience and have some fun with it. I try not to get that serious if I'm asked to speak. You know, a few workshops throughout the time I've been here, and I try to keep it light. I don't know if I'm capable of being real serious all the way through. I don't know if I had that in me, even if I tried. But, you know, just a relief of knowing, like, men like that in my life. And, you know, sometimes a platform can be the messenger, because we were lucky enough to have some video stuff we had to do for our home groups and everything, you know, and tradition-wise, and everybody's bugging out and whatever, and like, I'm there with this guy that's dying of cancer that's been involved in his fellowship. He died with 47 years clean, and he was in the original world and was hanging out with the Jimmy K guy and the whole fucking nine yards, and there's dudes from Russia thanking him on this platform that we got, and I'm watching him get choked up, and I'm like, oh, I'm in the care of, because, like, you know, like, if I was going to sell cocaine, I want to be with Pablo Escobar, right? Like, I felt that comfortable. Like, I'm in the care of. This guy not only believes in it, it's his life. Like, he ain't half-stepping it. When you got a dude in Moscow saying, hey, thanks for sending us that literature. We had three meetings in 1983 or whatever the hell it was, and now we have this many meetings. I was like, I felt like a little worm on a big hook. I'm telling you what. Like, it was really neat to have that thing that we could use to get the message out to each other. And, you know, it is what it is. I got a guy that I sponsor that said he never had the courage to walk into a meeting. Thank God for it, because he would have the camera off. He started off, and then like a month in, he had the camera on, and after a couple months, he said something. And then once all that was past us, he was finally able to go to a meeting. But he couldn't get himself to go. So, you know, a lot of people went out, heard that, but I like sharing that story because some people got clean too because of it. So, you know, you use because you want to. That was a good excuse for a lot of people, sadly. But, you know, the message's not the messenger. Like I said, there's a wrench for every nut. You know, I could sit here and do the Eminem 8 Mile and talk about all the bad stuff that I continue to do to myself or whatever, but I'm far better than I was. And what's our message collectively? I didn't make it up. I don't know who wrote it. Greg P. dude wrote a bunch of shit, so maybe he wrote it. I don't know. But, like, an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs and find, you know, lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. That's it. I wasn't promised, like, the cars and the money and all that stuff or whatever. Nobody promised me that. I didn't care. I made good money. I went bankrupt with 6 years clean, finally settled with my work because I got hurt at work, bankrupt, 2 cars gone, in my apartment with 6 years clean, running a cord out to my landlord's sign for electric, 2 different times. And people loved me up. And I went through gratitude boot camp. I got my back surgery, got through that, started climbing out, got a little bit of money compensated to me through my work. And, like, I was happy as could be, man. I was down on the beach, like, if I died tomorrow, like, the sun was coming up, and I was just like, the world don't owe me nothing, and they didn't promise me nothing, God didn't promise me nothing. I can see, I have seen, I have walked, I have loved, tried to, I guess, or whatever, but I know today, without a doubt, I could die tomorrow. Like, if there's no end goal, because that was my problem my whole life. This is my own experience with the NA program and me getting to know myself. My life was always going to be better if I worked where he worked. No wonder he's happy. Did you see his girlfriend's butt? Damn right. No wonder he's happy. Look what he got. Something was always going to make my life better. So now, like, I'm that crazy, maybe too much PCP or whatever it is. But, like, I'm supposed to make goals, but also be content and grateful for where I'm at. And the defensive person in me goes, well, that don't make no sense. If I'm grateful and content where I'm at, why would I make a goal? That implies I'm going to be better in some way when I get there. And I'll ruin my day with that bullshit. It's just, don't let my happiness hinge upon the outcome. That's the message you all gave me when I got here. That's the message the literature gives me. Try to be a kind person. Try to love myself. Share that love with others. I wouldn't be able to do any of it without Narcotics Anonymous. That's all I got.